This is KOIN, Radio 97 in Portland. In 5 seconds, the time will be 10 o'clock. The CBS Mystery Theater follows the news.
CBS News. There are reports that Sunday's airliner crash near Paris, the worst air disaster in history, may have been caused by guerrilla bombs. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Airline sources in Turkey are saying there may have been 5 guerrillas aboard the plane carrying bombs and that the bombs may have exploded in flight. This is being offered as a possible explanation for the crash near Paris of a Turkish Airlines DC-10. The crash left all 346 people on the plane dead. France is starting an investigation, and officials from the U.S. government and from McDonnell Douglas Aircraft are en route to help with the probe. More than 100 DC-10s are in use around the world, and American officials want to make sure there are no structural faults that could result in another such disaster. 2 pro-Arab gunmen Sunday hijacked a British airliner after it left Beirut. They forced it to land in Amsterdam. Then, after allowing all 102 people aboard to get off, the 2 gunmen used the plane's liquor supply to set the aircraft on fire. The 2 gunmen were captured trying to run away. Dorothy Lefevre, a stewardess who was on the plane, says one of the hijackers grabbed the plane's intercom in flight and gave the people these instructions.
This is your new captain speaking. For your own safety and security, obey our instructions.
Put your hands on your head.
Put your hands on your
head.
Fasten your seatbelts for a happy ending to this journey.
The stewardess spoke at a London news conference. Officials say the 2 hijackers told them they belong to a group that is planning other attacks on British and American airliners because of those countries' support of Israel. In Phnom Penh, Cambodia, the military command says 5 hand grenades were hurled inside a military camp in the capital, killing 14 persons and wounding about 50 others. The command says the grenades were thrown while a party was being held in the camp. The American embassy in Saigon says North Vietnam has agreed to allow American planes to go to Hanoi to pick up the bodies of 12 U.S. servicemen who died in North Vietnamese captivity. U.S. sources say 2 Air Force transport planes will fly to Hanoi on Wednesday to pick up the bodies. More news after this message.
In 1919, someone had a big idea. Let's help youth understand big business by starting them in small businesses of their own. And Junior Achievement was born. Each group elected a board of directors, chose a product, set up a production line, sold stock, and went into business. That year, 314 students made and sold products and learned the business of business. Today, Junior Achievement has grown to nearly 200,000 members. Junior Achievers are designing and marketing their own products and services, from cutting boards to printing. They're organizing sales efforts, writing marketing plans, calculating profit and loss. Running these small businesses helps Junior Achievers understand how big business works. Support Junior Achievement, where youth learns the business of business. Call your local Junior Achievement office.
Judge John Sirica this week is expected to decide whether to turn a secret grand jury report over to the House Judiciary Committee, which is considering the impeachment of President Nixon. Sirica might make a decision on Monday. There have been reports the grand jury concluded President Nixon was involved in a Watergate cover-up. There are also reports that White House lawyers might try to block the release of the report. Senator Herman Talmadge of Georgia, a member of the Watergate committee, was asked what he knows about reports the grand jury also turned over some sealed evidence dealing with the president's involvement.
All I know about that is what I saw in the press. I don't even know that we have any sealed evidence. It was turned over to the grand jury. There may be, may not be. It would rest in the bosom of the court as to what he ought to do with that. If he has such evidence, I would hope that he would turn it over to the House Committee on Judiciary. It's looking into this whole matter of impeachment at the present time. Our committee, the Watergate Committee, has already voted long since turn over all of the evidence that we have to the House Judiciary Committee. I think that's the only thing to do.
Senator Talmadge was interviewed Sunday in Atlanta. There was a rather heated debate Sunday concerning the energy crisis. Senator Abraham Ribicoff, Democrat of Connecticut, and President John Swearingen of Standard Oil of Indiana were on the ABC broadcast Issues and Answers. Ribicoff and Swearingen had almost opposite views on the oil shortage, the senator accusing the oil industry of conspiring to create an artificial shortage and drive up prices. Ribicoff claimed more oil than ever before is coming into the U.S., suggesting the industry has managed to get around the embargo and is not being truthful about imports. Swearingen strongly denied that with these remarks.
The oil companies are perfectly willing to supply the figures to anybody who asks for them. The Customs Bureau has figures on exactly how much oil is coming through the customs and imported into the United States. We supply the Bureau with a mine, figures on refinery capacity, refinery runs, and if you don't have them available in the federal government, it's only because you haven't asked for them.
Swearingen summed up his view of the situation by saying the U.S. does not have enough oil to satisfy the needs and desires of the people. He also said the people will feel the gasoline shortage for the next 6 to 12 months. The parents of Patricia Hearst have appealed to her kidnappers to let their daughter communicate with them. The Hearsts on Sunday also expressed their belief that Patricia will soon be free. The FBI says there are no new developments to report in the case right now, which is a month old. The kidnappers have not been in touch with the Hearst family for 10 days. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
This is Dan Hart with KOIN Headline News. Republicans meeting at the annual Dorchester Conference in Seaside heard a variety of opinions on impeachment and concluded discussion on the issue by supporting it. Two Oregon men died when their light plane crashed in the Pacific Ocean last night about a quarter mile offshore from Crescent City, California. Republicans turned down a proposal at the Dorchester Conference to seek reinstatement of the death penalty. State Representative Les Aucoin is expected to announce his candidacy for Congress tomorrow, and a 14-year-old Sandy girl was killed today when she was struck by a train while watching smelt dippers along the Sandy River. The weatherman calls for periods of rain tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday. A little warmer tonight with lows tonight and tomorrow night in the upper 30s, high tomorrow in the low 50s. The high on Tuesday should be near 50, with south to southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. There's a 100% chance of rain tonight, 70% tomorrow, 90% chance of rain tomorrow night. Currently in Portland, it's 43 degrees. The CBS Mystery Movie, or Mystery Theater, is next.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the terrifying world of your imagination. My story explores the dark, uncharted area of the human brain. Despite medical research, scientists admit that there is much that is still unknown about the flesh and blood computer, which guides our conscious and unconscious lives. Let us listen as Colonel Edmund Plant of the CMI warns Dr. Gentry what dangers exist when we attempt to control this complicated human mechanism.
Let me explain, Doctor. Your patient, Kent Hatcher here, may be a time bomb. We have no idea what was done to him. But we do know, from other cases, what to expect.
You mean, brainwash?
Perhaps. It's very likely Kent may have been subjected to deep and continual hypnosis. His mind washed as clean as a sheet of white paper, then programmed to commit some terrible act against his own people.
Our mystery drama, Prognosis Negative, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sidney Sloan and stars William Redfield and Bryna Rayburn. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K,
presents overweight on an overnight train. Catherine.
Is this seat taken?
Please, sit down. You have exceptional legs.
Oh.
But why is one of them attached to a ball and chain?
This ball and chain? It's a symbol.
Funny, I would have sworn it was a ball and chain.
I mean symbolic. Because carrying around a few extra pounds can be just like lugging around this ball and chain.
I see. May I suggest something?
Uh-huh.
Try a bowl of Special K skim milk, orange juice, and coffee. It's the Special K breakfast.
Will it make me lose weight?
No.
Oh.
You must also exercise and eat smart at every meal.
I see.
Do you know the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious?
No, but if you hum a few bars...
No, no.
And that's another tale of the ball. Change.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That Kellogg's Special K. Good night.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from, a pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls, friendly service, and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
18 today, huh?
Yeah, 18. I never had so many decisions.
Well, how's that?
What to do? Go back to school, join the Navy, spend the summer at the lake?
Yeah, I see what you mean. You got one of these yet?
What? Selective service, a draft card. How come? There's no draft.
Well, they aren't inducting anybody, but you still gotta register with Selective Service within 30 days of your 18th birthday. That's the law.
Where do you register? Guess I'll have to get on it.
To handle your Selective Service registration requirements, see your local board or phone toll-free 800-452-0283.
Edmund Plant was on an unpleasant errand. As he walked into the big, dirty gray building, the military hospital for the insane, known to the brass as the Pit, he could think of many places he'd rather be. But this was a duty he had to perform, part of his job, and he wanted to get it over with as fast as possible.
I hope this won't take too long, Dr. Gentry.
No, no, not too long, Colonel Plant. All we need is your official identification. We've been able to identify him from his fingerprints, but the official rules call for your observation and signature.
I know, I know.
Right this way. We've got him in a private room because of his condition. Here we are. Step inside, please. I'll speak to him. I don't know if he'll respond. Kent, can you hear me? Colonel Plant, your commanding officer, is here to see you. You want to talk to him?
6-5-3, listen to me, listen to me.
What does that mean?
Well, we don't know. That's the only response we've been able to get from him.
Kent, do you remember me? Kent.
See? Look at his eyes. No focus. He doesn't hear you. He's in a world of his own.
Kent Hatcher disappeared on a mission behind enemy lines 8 years ago.
Ah.
2 months ago, he showed up in a prisoner exchange. We had believed him dead in action. After 7 years, he was declared officially dead.
Well, does he have any relatives? A wife?
Yeah, he had a wife. She's remarried. Moved away. Left the state, I believe.
Anyone else, Colonel?
No.
So, here he is. Mindless, mutilated, tortured. No relatives, no friends. And his superiors embarrassed or annoyed that he's still alive.
Now, I did not make the rules, nor did I persuade Kent Hatcher to take the mission. It was purely voluntary.
I know, I know. Well, what do we do now? Of course, we will do our best to bring him back.
Mentally and physically?
Both, if possible, but it is doubtful. He has an overstrained heart condition. It's quite serious. So permanent physical recovery is doubtful.
Perhaps it's all for the good.
You would rather that he die?
Let me explain. Kent Hatcher may be a time bomb. We have no idea what was done to him. But we do know from other cases what to expect.
You mean, brainwash?
Perhaps. It's very likely Kent may have been subjected to deep and continual hypnosis. His mind washed as clean as a sheet of white paper, and then programmed to commit some terrible act against his own people.
6, 5, 3. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Doctor, I want this man kept under surveillance day and night. We cannot take any chances. Sam, I, Colonel Plant here.
Oh, Colonel, this is Dr. Gentry. Paul Gentry.
Yes?
Remember, we were talking just last week about the case of Kent Hatcher, one of your agents?
Oh, yes, that. Well, yes, yes.
I'm afraid I'm going to puncture that theory of yours about Hatcher being something of a time bomb ready to blow up. I'm certain that he's not dangerous.
On what do you base your findings?
Well, he's been under intense treatment and has begun to respond very rapidly. He's mild and cooperative. He's almost childlike.
I see.
I've reduced the guard to 1 8-hour shift, midnight to 8 in the morning, and at all other times he is constantly in the hands of our nurses and therapists and other personnel.
Well, you are something of a gambler, Doctor.
A gambler?
Taking that kind of a risk.
No. I don't think so.
Doctor, has it occurred to you that this entire mild convalescence may have been programmed into the mind of this man to throw you off guard?
Oh, nonsense. I know a harmless man when I see one.
To leave him unguarded is taking chances with the lives of many people. Heaven only knows what has been fed into his receptive and willing mind.
You know your name is Kent, don't you?
Yes, Doctor.
Do you know your full name? Can you remember?
Yes. Kent Hatcher.
Very good, very good. Now, how do you know that is your name?
You told me.
You had a life before you were brought here. You were married. Can you remember that?
No, Doctor.
You had a daughter, Mary. She was very ill.
I don't remember.
You loved her very much. When she died, you were heartbroken.
Heartbroken?
You don't recall anything?
No.
Oh, Doctor, I just wanted to remind you, you have a lecture today at the university.
Oh, yes, 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 that's right. Thank you, Evelyn. Look, I'm working with Hatcher. You know the case?
I should know it. I've been transcribing all your notes.
Well, I'm in the midst of giving him a series of perception tests. All very simple, just a matter of timing them.
Yes, I know them, Doctor.
You think you could finish them while I'm at the university?
Oh, well, yes, I guess I could, but...
What?
I'm just a bit afraid of him. I was in the office the last time you spoke with Colonel Platt.
Now, look, if you don't want the assignment, I'll just...
No, I want it. As long as you say he's... Well, okay.
Good, good. I'll expect you in 10 minutes.
Excellent, Mr. Hatcher. Excellent. Well, I'll have a good report for Dr. Gentry. Now, suppose we put all the equipment, the puzzles and the cards, back into their proper boxes.
Proper boxes?
The boxes they came in. You understand, don't you?
I understand.
I think you understand more than you pretend. Are you pretending?
No. No.
Oh, don't get upset. Sorry if I hurt your feelings.
6, 5, 3. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Please.
6.
Sit down.
Five,
we have more
three.
To do, more
Listen
games to play.
To me.
Please.
Now. Now.
Stay back. Stay back.
Now.
Please.
Now.
Don't hurt me.
Now.
Please.
Now. Six. Five. Three. Listen to me. Listen to me.
I am grateful to the officials who have given me this airtime to explain a very serious matter. I am or was Ken Hatcher's doctor, and I must add my warning to the hundreds of others you have read in your newspapers and heard over the air. Ken Hatcher is dangerous, frighteningly dangerous. Dangerous. Do not, under any circumstances, attempt to apprehend him yourself. Call the special numbers that have been set up for this purpose. Do not let his mild manner deceive you. He is a killer who will act without even the slightest provocation. The police have orders to shoot on sight.
Morning, mister. What can I do for you? You want to buy a $200 coat for U18?
I want some clothes. Different clothes.
Oh, well, I don't blame you. You're wearing old painter's overalls. And where did you pick up that raincoat? At the automat?
Give me clothes.
Sure. Sure, mister. Didn't mean to hurt your feelings or nothing. Look, I figure you about a 40 long, right on this rack over here. So, you just go ahead and help yourself, huh? You pick out what you want. I gotta go to the back of the store to, do a little alteration, okay? You just pick out what you want, and then call me, right? Okay. I'll see you in a minute.
What was that number he seen in the paper? Where is it? Where is it? Here. Here. Right in my store. I recognize him in the picture in the paper. Also, I've seen it four times on the news. I don't know how long I could get...
Six, five, three. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Now, the way I see it, Archie, the old girl's prime for the taking right now, with the right approach.
It's the booze talking, Freddy girl. You ain't got a cent out of you, Mrs. Mowbray. And you ain't gonna because you ain't sharp enough to convince her.
Look, Archie, you gotta work these big jobs slow. You rush them, you end up with an empty hand.
Look, Freddy, that old tea leaves bit and the table knocking routine ain't gonna fool no one, not even your stupid Mrs. Mowbray, who wants to get in touch with the spirit of her dear dead departed.
Hey, take the bottle and get in the other room. Might be a customer for a reading.
This hour, 11:45? Yeah, it's probably some drunk.
All the better. They give bigger fees and no complaints. Now get out.
All right, I'll be sitting behind the curtain in the kitchen.
Yes? Step inside, friend, and let Frederica Gillis solve your problems.
You have...
Yes, yes. Oh, look, step inside, please. That's better. Now, what's troubling you, friend? Money matters, domestic difficulties, fear of the future?
There is a sign in your window.
Spiritual reader, forecaster of the future, palms red.
No, no, not that.
Not what?
The sign, the sign, room to rent.
Oh, that. Well, that's a mistake, mister. We had a room vacant, but we really don't have...
I took that room 3 months ago. I'm the lodger here. There ain't no more room.
But the sign is still in the window.
It's just a mistake. It should have been taken down.
No room...
No room, chum. Oh. This way out.
Wait. Maybe we have got a room for this gentleman.
What? Freddy, have you got...
Top floor, sort of an attic room, if you don't mind the climb.
What? Wait a minute, you can't give him that room. Now I've got all the photographic equipment in there.
Well, you better clear it out, because I've just rented the room to this here nice gentleman. You want to take a look at it, sir?
I'll take it.
Without even looking at it? I think you better go up and then decide. I want to be fair about it. Right up them stairs, top floor, first door on the left.
Well, I don't need to look.
Now do as you're told. Go upstairs.
Yes, I'll go. I'll do as you say.
What is the crazy idea of that? Now, what do you want him around here for?
For a very definite reason. I recognized him immediately.
You did? Well, who is he?
He's Kent Hatcher, the man the entire country is searching for.
That one. And you let him in...
Oh, put down that phone, you fool. Put it down. Now, this guy Hatcher,
is going to be the one thing we need to pull off that caper with Mrs. Mowbray. This is the biggest piece of luck we've had.
Frederica Gillis, in her own canny way, recognized more than just the features of the hunted man. She knew intuitively that he was susceptible to hypnosis and made up her mind to use this susceptibility to further her own nefarious plans. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Turned 18 and I'll do what I can. Find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life, be free and be free. Oh, where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I've been in pursuit, but what lies ahead? Don't want to get trapped, want to feel free and dead. All over the world, there's so much to do. The call of the sea, don't you?
The new Navy. You'll get your chance of success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000 or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Hey, we're the Action Corps.
See, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
Our ideals are high.
Oh, I you a fly.
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C, D,
E.
We could go on all day.
Oh. Here's why.
Volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into Action.
Oh, yeah.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Days have passed since Kent Hatcher, the hunted man, found refuge with Frederica Gillis and her accomplice, Archie. She has not permitted him to leave the house and, in fact, has been working to disguise his much-publicized, scarred face.
That you, Archie?
Right, Freddy girl.
Come out here in the kitchen. I want you to see something.
Come in.
Well, Archie, how do you like him?
Good. What a change you made in his appearance. You've even given him a new hairdo.
Looks a lot different with the dye job.
Takes years off his age, blacking it up like that.
Wait till his beard grows out. That'll cover most of the scars.
It's terrific. Well, Kent, how do you like your new look?
I like it. Thank you.
Only his name is not Kent, Archie. That had to be changed. His name is Mazumdar.
What?
He's going to be Mazumdar, the Indian mystic. He'll darken his face, let his beard grow out, and then with a fancy, what do you call them, things they wrap around their heads?
Turban,
that's it. Oh, can't you just see him in a rich-looking robe with a turban on his head?
Now, wait, well, what's on your mind, Freddy girl?
Oh, you're not very quick, Archie. Now, look. What I have in mind is Mazumdar, do you hear me?
I hear you.
What is your name? Tell me your name.
I am Mazumdar.
Now, I want you to go to your room, and you are to stay there until I call you. Repeat. What I have told you.
Go to my room and stay until you call me.
Now, go.
I go to my room and stay.
That's amazing. It's amazing. He's behaving like a little lamb.
Oh, I could sense right from the moment I laid eyes on him that he was an easy subject. Oh, we're going to give Mrs. Mowbray the greatest spirit show she's ever seen in her life. She'll hand us her money in a bushel basket. Everything ready, Archie?
Yeah, I think so. Now, let's run over the list. Wind effect, whistling sound, eerie music.
Okay, but not too much.
When she does get in touch with her dear departed Kenneth, what's she going to ask him? And what's our phony medium, Kent, going to reply?
Mazumodar. Remember that.
Okay, Mazumodar. What's he going to say? Now, you can't guess what the old gal might ask when the seance starts.
Look, I've been working with him all week. The going gets too rough for him, and he can't give a good answer. I'll just break things up, stop the seance, say that the contact with the spirit world is broken.
Okay. What time's she coming?
Oh, I told her 8 o'clock.
Well, now, just to get things straight, now, I'll be in the kitchen. All the sound effects will be piped into here where the seance is taking place, right?
Right. And when I want the sound out, I'll say, Mazumodar, do you feel a presence in this room?
And I fade sound out and Mazumodar takes over.
That's all there is to it. Mrs. Mowbray will be here in 30 minutes. Mrs. Mowbray, this is the great Mazumodar.
Oh, does he speak English?
Oh, yes. I've asked him to conduct the seance in English. He's agreed, though he'd rather do it in his own language.
Oh, I understand. Thank him for me. If he is able to reach out into the great void and bring my son, my dear son Kenneth, back to me, even for an instant.
Mazumodar will do his best. I told him of your great sorrow, and he was sympathetic. Weren't you, all-seeing one?
I am sympathetic to the sorrows of a grieving mother.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. Please help me.
Let us begin. Sit here at this table, Mrs. Mowbray.
Yes.
You there. I will sit opposite you. The great Mazumodar will sit between us. Let the seance begin.
What is it?
Silence. Mazumodar must reach out into the spirit world. He is entering his trance.
I call to you. I order you to come. Spirits, obey the command of Mazumodar.
Feel a presence, all-seeing one.
There is one here who demands to speak.
Then let him speak.
Mother! Mother, where are you?
It's Kenneth. He's calling to me.
You may speak to him.
Oh, Kenneth, darling, I miss you terribly. Are you happy?
I am happy, Mother.
Oh, I'm so alone, darling. I want you with me always. I have felt your presence near me.
I have been with you from the moment of my death. It has been difficult reaching you, difficult to let you hear my voice.
Oh.
Now you are being helped by kind and gentle people. Be good to them, Mother. Without them, our thin thread of contact will dissolve.
Oh.
I will return to you and we will talk again. I will return.
Oh. What happened? Why has he gone? Oh, call him back, I beg. beg you. Mother Moon, I will give you anything you want, but please let me speak to him again.
Now stop that. You want to ruin everything? Stop, I say. The seance is at an end.
Oh, please. Please. Ask Mazumodar to forgive me for my outburst.
Mazumodar understands, Mrs. Mowbray.
Oh, I hope he does. When may I come again?
I will call you after I consult with him.
I want to... I don't quite know how to say this, but can I give him something? I mean, will he accept?
The all-seeing one is a holy man and may not accept money. It is unclean.
Oh, well, in that case...
But he must live, and I must live. That is, I will accept for him.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Here. Oh, you are a good person, Mrs. Gillis. I'm so lucky to have found you. Goodbye. Thank you again, and please call me soon.
Soon. Goodbye. Archie?
She's gone finally, huh? Yeah, you didn't let the seance go too long, did you?
Just long enough to make her want more. It was a complete success. Mazumodar was perfect.
She loosened up the purse strings a wee bit, too, didn't she? I heard her say something about money.
Yeah. 500. Take your cut.
500? Better than I thought.
Peanuts. Just a down payment on what she's going to give us, beg us to take.
You got something big on your mind?
Well, next time she's not going to be taken in quite so much by the atmosphere of the seance. She'll want something more definite, more tangible.
Well, we got all that info we collected from the Army files about her son. You know, flyer shot down. Body never recovered. Final report of his burial in enemy territory.
Oh, nothing in that stuff will have any influence on her. Just take a look at this snapshot, taken with his buddies overseas. Take a good look at it.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, well, what's so important about this photo?
Look at his right wrist. What do you see? Here, use this magnifying glass. Here.
Looks like he's wearing one of them identity bracelets this guy's wore at the time. You know, especially the flyers.
That's correct. Now, it was specially made for him, she told me, by a fancy jeweler. Now, at the time of his death, it was destroyed or stolen. She never got it back.
So what?
We're going to reproduce that bracelet. And at the next seance, Mazumodar will ask the dear departed Kenneth for some proof that he is really Mrs. Mowbray's son.
And then old Mazumi will drop the identity bracelet right into Mrs. Mowbray's sweating hands. Oh, that's great. That's really a great idea, Frederica girl.
Well, now, look, you take this photo and blow it up as large as you can. And then blow up the portion that takes in the right wrist.
Then blow that up again. Yeah. Then get all the details.
And then we find a jeweler who can reproduce the identification bracelet exactly. What do you think that'll be worth to the rich Mrs. Mowbray?
Come on, open up, Ken. Now, will you be a good guy? Good guy, now open up the door, huh? Look, I got to get in there, Kent. Now, I've got all my photographic equipment in there. Well, thanks, old man. Hey, I'm sorry if I disturbed you. It'll take me a minute. Wait a minute, Kent, or Mazumodar, whatever your name. Now, listen.
No.
Now, stop. Now, don't look at me like that. Federica!
No.
Federica, help!
Six.
No.
Five.
No.
Three.
Stop.
Listen.
No.
To me.
Now, stop.
Federica!
To
help.
Me.
Help.
No.
No.
You hear me, and you obey. Tell me that you hear me.
I hear you.
Well, now go back into your room and stay there until I order you to leave. Repeat what I have said.
Go back to my room.
stay there.
Until I order you to leave.
Until you order me to leave.
Feeling better, Archie?
Well, my throat feels like a horse stepped out of something. We're playing with dynamite. And the best thing we can do is turn him in before we all wake up dead some morning.
Yeah. Wait till we make the big caper to the next seance. And we're able to drop the identification bracelet into the center of the table.
Yeah, can we take the chance? Can we wait that long?
Look, just go to work. Take your pictures. How long will it take to have the bracelet made?
Well, I know a guy who does great work.
Good. Then you get to him.
He's just a telephone call away. He owes me a couple of favors.
Well, call him. And then start working with your camera. I got all your equipment out of Mazumodar's room.
Here. Feast your eyes on that.
Oh, the bracelet. You got it.
Told you the jeweler was a friend, huh? Did it in 2 days. Now, ain't it beautiful?
Oh, let me see the photo. The blow-up you made.
Yeah. Spitting image.
Oh, perfect. Looks like the original.
Yeah. Look how he made it look as though it had been in a fire, eh? Mulberry went down in flames, you know.
Yeah. Oh, good touch. Makes it look authentic. Look, I'll call Mrs. Mulberry and set up the seance as soon as possible.
Hey. Listen, there's one little fly in the ointment, Freddy girl.
What?
Maybe we ought to get a new medium to run the show, huh?
What are you talking about? New medium? No, no. We've got to use Mazumodar. We've established him.
Well, you got to unestablish him. He's gone.
Gone? When? How? We'll just have to find him. Come on. He didn't have much money, so he couldn't have gone far.
Well, wouldn't it be better to report the whole thing to the police?
And throw away enough money to keep us in the good things for the rest of our life? Are you crazy?
But now?
No, no buts. Mazumodar is the key that will unlock Mrs. Mowbray's bank account. And we're not going to let that slip out of our hands.
Kent Hatcher loose in the city again. No one to control his homicidal urges. His changed appearance would make it difficult for the police to recognize and to apprehend him. Will they? I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Never heard of beer on the rocks? No? Swell. The people who brew Budweiser never have thought ice in your beer was such a cool idea anyway. If you only knew how ice cuts down the head and waters the taste. Oh, a chilling thought. A downright tragedy with Budweiser especially. Budweiser is the king of beers. The only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Naturally carbonated. Which means Bud brews its own bubbles. Tiny ones over a dense lattice of beechwood strips. The beer ages the best way. The right way. Naturally. But add an ice cube and bloop, there goes all that extra effort. So if you forget to cool enough Bud, skip the cubes and put your Budweiser on ice for a while, on the coldest shelf in your refrigerator. Even if the wait does frost you a little, it'll be worth it. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Hal Linden. There's a lot of talk these days about America's energy crisis. Talk about doing without heat, about doing without our cars, about what's going to happen if we run out of fuel. Well, we may not have to run out of fuel if we all work together to conserve the fuel we have. That means turning your thermostats down to 68 degrees during the day and turning them down to 60 at night. It means turning off lights, TV sets, and electrical appliances the minute we're finished with them. It means driving no faster than 50. Starting or joining carpools. Avoiding the kind of stop-and-go motoring that eats up gas by the gallon. In short, it means saving every ounce of energy we can, every chance we get. So please, do your part to make the fuel supply stretch a little further. For your own sake, don't be selfish. Don't be foolish. Don't be fuelish.
This message from the Federal Energy Office and the Advertising Council.
have gone by since Kent Hatcher broke through the bonds of hypnotic suggestion and fled from the house of Frederica Gillis. Mrs. Gillis and Archie have been hunting for him for hours. But the tortured man wanders through the big city. Something urges him onward. Something that he cannot define, even to himself.
Hello. May I speak to Carl Shearson, please? This is his wife. Carl, Alma, I know you don't like me calling the office, but I think I saw him. No. Carl, I'm sure. He's changed, but I knew him. Yes, I know I said that before, but this time, he followed me. Yes, I tried to get away. I ran into Fletcher's grocery store, quickly ordered some groceries, and asked them to let me slip out the back entrance. I didn't see him after that. Call the police. No, I couldn't. They'll kill him. They're searching for him, and they'll take no chance. Oh, someone at the door. Must be my grocery order. I told them to send it up. Call me back in a few minutes, Carl. Coming. Oh, no. No. Please. Please. Don't come in here. Get your foot out of the door. Let me close it, please.
Alma. I want to talk to you. Alma, don't hold the door. I won't hurt you.
Come in.
Alma, I've been following you. At first, I didn't know why. And then the name Alma kept repeating in my head. Then I knew who Alma was. Do you know who I am?
Yes. I know you, Kent. They told me you were dead. I was alone all those years. I'm remarried.
Remarried?
You were declared legally dead. Even then I hesitated, but Carl insisted that we marry. He's a good man, kind. I need him. He loves me.
Our daughter, Mary. Dead, isn't she?
Pneumonia. The year after you disappeared.
Dead. Everything dead or gone or over.
Kent, you must go away. Hide. They're looking for you. They may find you here.
All over. You know, Alma, I can hardly remember what you used to look like. I can hardly remember my life.
There's nothing here in the papers. Nothing on the radio or TV. All it says is, fugitive killer still at large. Seems he ran into his ex-missus and her new husband reported it to the police.
Well, that means he's still in town.
Yeah, worse luck. I wish he'd take off with the great open spaces. I hope we never see him again.
What are you talking about, Archie? We need him. I'm hoping he'll come back here.
Here?
Yeah, where else can he go? He hasn't a cent. He knows he's safe here.
Question is, Freddy, are we?
I can control him, and we need him. I've stalled Mrs. Mowbray twice. I can't keep doing it without her losing interest. If he walked in that door today, we could schedule the seance for tonight, and it... Clear out of here, Archie. That's a client wants a reading. I'll go in the kitchen.
All right, right, right. Call me if you want.
Yeah. You, Masumoto. Oh, come in, come in. Archie, come here.
Why, it's him. But he was right. He did come back.
Masumoto, listen to me. Listen. You are to go to your room.
go to my room.
You will change your street clothes to Mazumodar's robe and turban. Do you understand?
I understand.
Now, go to your room.
I go to my room.
It's amazing. That's truly amazing. You got him like a monkey on a string.
I told you I could control him.
You gonna pull it off tonight?
Why should we wait? As soon as we get her money, we'll get rid of him and turn him in.
Well, it's my sentiments exactly. Now, he is too hot to handle. The sooner the cops get him, the better.
Yeah, hand me the phone. Mrs. Mowbray, right on time. Come in. Come in.
Thank you for calling me. I began to think that all contact with my son Kenneth was broken. I thought perhaps I had disturbed Mazumdar by my outburst.
Oh, no, no. Nothing like that. But I must tell you, his efforts on your behalf have taken their toll of his strength.
I don't quite understand.
Well, every night, Mazumdar has reached out into the darkness of death to touch the spirit of your son.
Oh, has he really?
The effort has drained his strength. He is not well.
Oh, then perhaps
it may take him months, perhaps years, to recuperate. And the expenses incurred are very high.
I will pay them anything.
Well, I am certain that he will be successful tonight.
I have been in communion with the spirit of your son. I have informed him that he must appear to you and must give you some evidence known only to the two of you to prove without any doubt that it is truly he.
Oh, if he could, if he could.
We will begin. Sit here at this table as we did the last time.
Yes.
You there, I across from you. And Mazumdar sitting between us. Now I will dim the lights. Let us join hands and complete the mystic circle. Oh, Mazumdar, do you feel a presence?
I feel there is one here who has traveled a long way.
Do you know him by name?
This is not simple. He is trying. He is trying. Trying to...
Mazumdar, are you all right? Can you continue?
I can continue. I must. The spirit is... here in our midst, he wants to speak.
Let him speak.
Mother! Mother, I call out to you across the long reaches of infinity.
Oh, oh, Kenneth!
I have spoken several times to this holy man who has made it possible to be near you.
Yes, Kenneth.
He has informed me that I must give you substantial proof of my presence here. What should it be?
Oh, anything. Anything. I believe it is really you.
No, I will give you proof. Proof of my love for you, dear mother.
Oh. Oh.
Do you remember your loving gift to me?
What gift?
Shortly before I left to go overseas on my last furlough home.
The bracelet. The identification bracelet.
Yes.
It was never found, never returned to me. I wanted that more than anything else.
I knew that, and I return it to you now.
It's his bracelet. Oh,
on the lights. The seance is over.
This man, Colonel Plant?
I do. His name was Kent Hatcher. His serial number...
No, that won't be necessary, Colonel. It's all here on this form. May I have your signature, please?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. There you are.
Thank you.
Is that all?
No, that's all that's required officially, Colonel. But do you mind if I ask you a question?
Yes, go ahead.
That business with the identification bracelet...
Oh, it was a fake. A reproduction. Mrs. Gillis' accomplice, Archie, had it made from a photograph. We got all that in their confessions.
They had made it look as though the dead son, Kenneth, had sent the bracelet to his mother from the great beyond?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a common trick played by people of this type to bilk naive women. However, there was one aspect of the matter that has not been satisfactorily explained.
You mean about the inscription on the inside of the identification band?
To my son, forever and ever... Mother. Doctor, there was no way they could have known what that was or whether there was even an inscription. In some mysterious way, that engraving appeared on the inner face of the silver bracelet. How? We shall never know.
And the tortured, troubled man finally found his rest on a cold slab in the morgue. Unmourned, unwanted, unwept for. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? The Better Business Bureau knows.
Honey, the TV set just won't work. Who do I take it to? The lady down the street took hers into a place that charged her more than her set was worth.
Gosh, I don't know.
I'll tell you what to do, folks.
Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. Now, before you take your set in for repairs, shop around and check into a firm's reputation. You know, that's even more important than the price. Friends and neighbors can help, or you can ask for a few names of previous customers to find out if they were satisfied. And since the amount you pay will vary from one place to another, it's up to you to find out in advance what a service will cost if you have it fixed at home. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Thank you. at the terrifying results of tampering with the human brain. All the experts agreed pretty much on the methods that had been used, but not one had an answer for Kent Hatcher's mysterious extrasensory knowledge of the inscription on the inside of the bracelet. That he took to his grave. Our cast included William Redfield, Bryna Rayburn, Mason Adams, Earl Hammond, and Martha Greenhouse. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You see this writing?
Yes.
It is the runic alphabet. It represents an ancient death curse.
And those figures on it?
The date of your death.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It has earned the reputation of being one of the most powerful of all the ancient spells. The drawback, of course, was the absolute necessity of having the man or woman casting the runes to pass the curse on directly and have it accepted.
Oh, no, I won't believe that. This is the 20th century.
Careful. Lose this paper and you lose your only chance.
You mean there's something I can do?
One thing.
What is it?
Pass the curse to someone else.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News is next here at KOIN, followed by Gene Still with Dialogue. Stay with us, won't you? This is KOIN, Radio 97 in Portland. Our current Portland temperature is 43 degrees.
CBS News. Israeli soldiers have completed their troop pullback from the Suez Canal a day ahead of schedule, and now Egyptian forces stand along both sides of the entire length of the canal for the first time in 7 years. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Israeli forces have surrendered their last positions on the canal under a troop disengagement plan. The new Israeli line will be 12 and a half miles back from the canal in front of the strategic Mitla and Gidi passes. In another development, a last round of talks is set to begin between Egypt's President Sadat and Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko. Gromyko goes on to Damascus Tuesday to talk about disengagement of Syrian and Israeli troops on the Syrian front. Secretary of State Kissinger, who helped get those disengagement talks off the ground, is now in Bonn, West Germany, for talks with officials there. On Sunday, Kissinger met with Foreign Minister Walter Scheel, and as Richard C. Hodlett reports, Kissinger told reporters that he had been reporting to Scheel on American peace efforts in the Mideast.
Kissinger emphasized again that his visit here in Bonn is a sign of well-functioning cooperation with Europe. Reminded by a German reporter that the European-American Energy Conference ago ended in failure, Kissinger put the blame on France, saying that the conference showed cooperation between the U.S. and 8 of the 9 common market members. Kissinger Kissinger was also challenged on the ill-fated Year of Europe he proclaimed in 1973. The secretary replied, with good humor, that on April 23rd last year, he announced that the Year of Europe had begun. And that, he said, means he's got 6 weeks left. John Sheehan, CNews, Bonn.
American officials in Saigon say their representatives will go to Hanoi this coming Wednesday to pick up the remains of 12 Americans who died in captivity. Hanoi announced on Monday that it was conducting the action, quote, in a spirit of respect and humanitarianism. In Cambodia, the military command reports 14 people killed when someone threw hand grenades into a military camp in Phnom Penh Sunday night. Another 50 people reported wounded. In another attack, one person was reported killed and 17 others injured when rebel rockets hit a marketplace on the outskirts of Phnom Penh. The Cambodian command also reports the provincial capital is under heavy rebel attack and says that government reinforcements have been rushed in both by air and sea. The capital is on the coast southwest of Phnom Penh. More news in a minute.
The famous closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange. This is Gary Shepard, CBS News, covering the worlds of industry and finance on Today in Business. In addition to Wall Street highlights, we report significant developments in big business, developments that affect your life and pocketbook. Listen for Today in Business, Monday through Friday evenings, here on the CBS Radio Network, where the listeners are.
This is William Conrad. Do you spend your money wisely? Then why not insist that governments spend wisely, too? After all, it's your money. Let your elected officials know what you think about the way they are spending your money. Remember, it costs the average family more for taxes than is spent on food.
A public service message from the almost 400,000 independent business people who are members of the National Federation of Independent Business and this community-minded radio station.
Aviation Week magazine reports that the Secret Service has supplied its guards at the White House with anti-aircraft missiles called red-eye missiles. The action reportedly follows an incident in which a man piloting a helicopter buzzed the White House, and another man said he planned to fly a hijacked plane into the White House. Connie Chung reports that a Secret Service spokesman denied that White House guards had been armed with the missile, and in this report, she tells us about the missile.
The red-eye missile can be carried like a rifle and fired from the shoulder. It's designed for foot soldiers. Similar Russian-made missiles were used recently by Arabs with great success. The red-eye has an infrared heat-seeking warhead which steers the missile straight to the exhaust of an aircraft's engine. It's believed to be powerful enough to destroy an airliner or a helicopter like the one that landed on the White House grounds 2 weeks ago. A Pentagon spokesman said training is hardly necessary. A few simple practice shots would do it. As he put it, just point the missile in the general direction and pull the trigger, since the missile guides itself to the target. The only problem with the red eye is that it cannot tell friend from foe and simply heads for the closest heat source. Therefore, it could destroy the wrong aircraft if more than one was close by. Connie Chung, CBS News, Washington.
The National Transportation Safety Board in Washington has sent a three-man team to France. They'll observe the investigation of the crash of an American-made DC-10 jet to see if the crash could have been caused by a malfunction or fault in the design. The plane, owned by the Turkish Airlines, crashed yesterday 25 miles north of Paris, killing all 346 people on board. Most of them were British and Japanese. An official of the French Transport Ministry says the fact that the bodies and the debris were found more than 6 miles from the crash site tends to prove that an explosion occurred in flight. And in Istanbul, sources with the Turkish airline say that 5 of the passengers may have been guerrillas carrying bombs which exploded in flight. This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.